right, as we start, okay, for the sessions here, we want it to be a little bit more participative, all right, now, because it's we are all above 21, okay, the cutoff age for there is 13 to probably primary 6 all the way to 21, all right, the cutoff age for the youth class for to come here. Okay, but from here is for the young adults onwards, so hopefully the next 2 months will be an enriching series. We don't want it to be just a lesson, we want it to be practical. Okay, so I'm going to do a lot of things like participating, asking you to participate by asking questions. Okay, so the first question we're going to start off with, what would you consider to be a strong foundation for building a family? What would you consider to be a strong foundation for building a family? Okay, from the world's perspective, from your perspective, or preferably for your own perspective, what would you consider to be a strong foundation for building a family? When I talk about family, it doesn't mean that you have to be married. You know? Because we're all part of family. We're all part of family. Okay? So, what would you consider to be a strong foundation? Anyone? Just shout out answers. So I want you all to be sitting a bit closer, but never mind. Yeah. What would you consider? Anyone? Okay, good communication. That's a good one. Okay. Okay. What else? What else? Okay, building the family based on God's word. Okay, anything else? What else? Love, okay. Okay, love. What else? Okay, just one more. Oh, great. Okay. Anyone? Any others? Okay. Those who just come in, you can think about the answers to this. Anything else? Okay, we have communication, we have love, we have building on the principles of God's word. And the question is, what would you consider to be a strong foundation for building a family? All right, throughout this many sessions, we are going to be asking questions that will challenge our philosophy. And we want to realign that back to the scripture so that we can truly be strong, okay? So the series, Okay, this is going to be the series, Except the Lord Build a House, okay? I haven't answered the question yet, so I'm not going to answer the question, but I want to start us thinking, what would you consider to be a strong foundation for building a family? It's not just that, for building a church, building different things in your life, okay? So the series that we're going to have is called Accept the Lord, Build a House, right? And why in my mind, I believe is important, for your information, the young people right now are going through a series called Successful Living, based on the book of Proverbs, okay, Jeremiah? It'll be a whole year's course, all right? And Jeremiah is going to be teaching specifically from the book of Proverbs, and I think some of our young people are there, so we pray that God will actually be able to guide them. But for us, we want to look at why do we need this, all right? Why this series? Number one, most families do not have strong foundations. Most families do not have strong foundations. It's actually very sad, all right? Even within Christian churches. In Singapore, out of 28,212 marriages, 7,578 ended up in divorces and annulments. This is one in four marriages that end up in divorce. This is taken from statistics. This is the latest, July 2018, the Department of Statistics in Singapore. Okay? Many families have considered divorce as an answer to their problems in marriage. Okay, I personally said in families, whereby the husband looked at the wife and said, let's leave. These are Christian families. I think it wouldn't be too far-fetched to say that even within our church, there will be people who have considered that. All right? Many families have considered divorce as an answer to their problems in marriage. Do you know that actually if you consider this, it actually leads to more problems next time? That's what the devil wants. That's what the devil wants. The devil is a divider. Remember that. Okay? Unless it's based on truth. The devil is always a divider. Okay? Many families do not know how to resolve conflicts within the family. Isn't that true? we kind of leave things hanging when there's an argument, when there's a conflict, right? The house is a broken down house on the outside, and on the inside it's a bit blur here. But if you actually look at the picture itself, inside is broken out, outside is also broken. Now, it's interesting, when I was in Nepal, okay, this was a very interesting thing. The pastor who was preaching, who was a guest preacher, actually, he works with chimneys. Okay, he works, last time, he's a, what we call, a contractor in building. You know, in America, they have chimneys, right? To actually have the fire, or the fireplace and all that. And he gave a very interesting illustration. He says that the chimney on the outside can actually look very good, but if the materials are not good, you won't show the crack. When the outside of the chimneys actually show the crack, it's actually too late already. Because what's happened is the materials within there, if inside the fire, the smoke is always going up, and the materials are not strong, the materials actually affect the interior of the items that hold the chimney, but the outside still look very good. So by the time they call the engineers to come in to help with the chimney, and if they actually see cracks, it's actually too late already. Isn't that true? In many families, they come to church, they look good, they go out, they look good. I've personally spoken to children whenever I want to contact some of these people, I say, hey, where's your dad? I don't know. Where is he? You know, because the idea of a close family is that they know a lot about each other. Even in simple things like scheduling, hey, I'll be here, I'll be there. I won't be around at this time to this time. I mean, there are people in families when I have to contact them, they don't even know whether their parents are working or not. They don't even know what time parents are coming back. They don't even know. There's no contact. There's not one of them. Rati was mentioning about communication is one. So on the outside, the family looks good. But when you actually ask, where is your dad or mom? The children don't even know. Okay? It's a phenomenon in Singapore because many families look good on the outside, but they all live individual lives. They do their own thing. All right. So many families, but when it comes to conflict, if you're all living individual lives and you're not triangulating, you're not actually coming together, what's going to happen is we don't know much about each other. And so when it comes to conflict, we always consider our perspective, not the other person's perspective. Okay. Any questions? Just feel free to ask. Okay. Because this is very personal. We all have families. We all have situations in our families that have also difficulties. The family is the most attacked institution spiritually, okay, besides the church, right? The family is the most attacked institution spiritually, all right? Give you a verse, Genesis 3:12. When after this is Genesis 3, this is when the serpent attacked Adam and Eve. Immediately after this sin, the first family conflict started. The man said, remember God says, did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat? And what did the man say? The man didn't confess his sin. The man did not confess his sin. The man said, the woman which thou gave, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. You know, for men in homes, in our hearts, we probably won't blame God. But Adam blamed God. God, you are the one who gave me the woman. And she was the one who gave me the fruit. That's why I ate. They never confessed. See, men, I'm just going to say this. Because we are the head of the house, okay, I'm just kind of jumping ahead. Maybe I won't jump ahead. But Adam blamed everyone else except himself. Okay? And then Eve also learned that. Eve blamed the snake. Poor snake. And then after the snake, who did the snake blame? No one else. Okay? You know where's the source of our conflict? Sin. All right? So that's the first learning point. And then in Genesis chapter 4, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, in the family. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. The beginning of conflict between siblings. And Lamech took him two wives, the name of one Adah, And there were other zila. You can find it in Genesis chapter 4. Adultery started. Polygamy started. It has been widely accepted today in some religions and all that it's okay to marry multiple. The Mormons, for example, okay? And their teaching is very perverted. And therefore, the leaders, I mean, let's say I'm a leader of a Mormon, I can actually take any one of your daughters and marry it because it's part of the teaching. God says, no, one man, one woman for the rest of your life, okay? But that was where adultery started, okay? The family is the most attacked institution spiritually, okay? Okay, who is this study series targeted at? Just want to very clear, because people when come to a session, they say, oh, it's all for married couples. No, I'll just married couples who have limited biblical marital preparation. Okay, I was very unfortunate. My pastor actually gave me premarital counseling, 30 minutes. Before me and Sister Lydia got married, he only gave me 30 minutes premarital counseling. Okay, and that wasn't enough. Many things I'm going to share with you is what I learned through the trials of marriage, really problems in marriage. Young adults and families needing biblical solutions for family. God has solutions for family. We have to believe that. We have to believe that. Because there's nowhere else you can find solutions except in the Bible and with God. Okay? And then for preparation for young adults, for marriage and family. So on this note, if you have any friends, if you have any anyone that you feel that, okay, this family may be in a bit of trouble, you feel that you can invite them, or young people going through some family crisis and all that, please invite them, because I'm going to look at areas of communication, I'm going to look at very practical things, finances, I'm going to look at how to resolve conflicts, and I want us to also be very open to be able to share with one another. We're a church family, all right? So we'll be able to actually deal with that from the scriptures. During the youth camp, what happened was the young people had workshops. And one of the most challenging things was we dealt with things like pornography. We dealt with things like boy-girl relationships. We dealt with things like music. We dealt with things like depression. We dealt with things like suicide. Okay? During the debrief, it's interesting that children as young as 12 are telling their devotion leaders that their friends are already showing them pornography in school. So which means that if we have our children in the normal public schools and we're not prepared to prepare them for this onslaught, the church has been very blind, and we want to remove, we have been very blind and very slow to confront society issues head on. Okay, during the youth camp, 14-year-olds came to our camp, and some of them have already lost their purity because they're in gangs, they smoke, they drink, they've already lost it. And when I dealt with that sin, you could see them looking at one another because that was what they were involved in. You know what's the oldest sin in the world? Immorality. That's the oldest profession in the world. Immorality is rampant in all. We mustn't be blind to the fact that sometimes even among Christians, these things are being practiced. So what Satan does is systematically attack the children, at the same time keeping the adults and parents respecting their privacy. Do you know what I'm saying? In the name of respecting privacy, many of these young people get to do what they want because adults say, oh, I need to respect the privacy of children. Now, I'm not saying being aggressive, offensive, and saying, oh, you better show me everything. It's about building relationships so that the children want to come to you. Okay? Now, if people get to all this, as church people, we mustn't be blind. We must not be blind, okay? So, if you have any friends, I can tell you, we have to grow to a point of not just think about ourselves, think about other people as well. All right. So hopefully this series, if you know of anyone who has any troubles in this area, please invite them. Okay? All right. The goal, okay, there's a castle. Okay, it's not very clear. It's supposed to be a castle. So that these three groups of people will be able to be strong. Or being a Christian, to be able to counsel people going through that. Does that make sense? We need to know ourselves and then be able to counsel people, their parents, be able to counsel their children about the principles of marriage, all right? And Hopefully those people who learn this principle will grow strong. Okay. The goal of this series, number one, to discover God's plan for the family. Now, for the next 2 months, we're going to be very intentional, meaning that we're going to be very clear that this is God's plan. All right? I know I've taught this before, and I think it's come to a point whereby people are not listening. Not that you are not listening, but people in the past, we know our church members who have left the church and their families are broken. We need to be honest with this. Children gone astray. They can blame the church, but ultimately, we don't lose. We're still here, but the pain is in their hearts because they have not followed God's principles. So I want us to discover God's plan for the family, to prayerfully install God's plan into our families. Install. You know what's install? Software from outside installed into our families. In other words, we must be prepared to delete, factory reset our the way we live our life. Okay? It's going to be challenging. And then honor the Lord Jesus Christ to our families. Okay, any questions? So hopefully this will set the stage, and I really encourage you all to invite people and all that. All right? Any questions? Okay. So we're going to kick off. In the next 2 months, I want you to memorize these 5 verses. Okay? 5 verses, okay, right? Is it okay? Psalm 127. Okay, let's read this passage together so that at least we... I want us to memorize that, okay? These 5 verses. Let's read. Ready? 1, 2. You can follow it there. You can jot it down in your own notes. Ready? 1, 2, go. Except the Lord build a house. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so giveth beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Okay, we're going to go through this passage. Memorize this, all right? Because within there are a lot of precious truth for us in our family, okay? So let's start with these 2 passages and answer this question. Which word is repeated the most often? Because build is twice, except is twice. Anything more than that? The word vain. What's the meaning of vain? Take the word vain and then read the passage. Sorry? Useless. What else? It's correct. It's useless. What else? What other words to describe? Meaningless. We are wasting our time. So if you put that word, except the Lord build a house, they labor uselessly that build the house. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but uselessly. It is useless for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Why do you think it's repeated? Why does the word of God tells us and repeat this word again and again in the context of Psalm 127? Let's engage our brains a little bit more. Sorry? The verse is saying we need God. Okay? Any others? Yes. Brother Henry, there's a couple outside. You can just check, see whether they are looking for a church. Yeah. Huh? Without God, our efforts are meaningless. Okay. What's the only reason why a building subject is strong? Okay. Why do you think it's repeated? It's true. The psalmist is very clear. The psalmist is actually very clear. Without God, all of our efforts are useless to build a family. All our efforts are useless to build a family. In Psalm 127, okay, the Bible says here, the only reason why any building project is strong, okay, it doesn't just refer to family. It can refer to a church. It can refer to the nation. It can refer to anything. Only when God is the builder together with us, then the house can be strong. any other efforts to build your family, any other efforts to build a city, a church, without God is absolutely meaningless. That's what the psalmist wants to teach us, okay? In Psalm 127, this is called the Builder's Psalm. Okay, these are some notes that you can take. It's called the Builder's Psalm. It is specifically written as advice from a father to a son. King David is writing to Solomon. King David is writing to Solomon. What Solomon means peaceable. Okay? King David is actually a warrior. All right? But Solomon, his son, built the temple in a very peaceful time. And he built Solomon's temple is a very magnificent temple, the most wonderful, magnificent temple in Israel. So it's written as an advice from the father to a son. Okay? The Bible teaches us a wise man will hear and will increase learning. When we will listen to the Bible with regards to building our families, our homes, our church, we will be wise, because the Bible says a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Will increase learning. Okay? And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. That means a man that is dedicated to listening to God's word. Alright? There are many people who come to church, many people who read the Bible, but why is it that sometimes two people can read the Bible, or two people can attend church, one grow in Christ and one just have their families broken down? Because one here, one didn't hear. We can be here. We can be listening here. I did give you a little bit of the anatomy of the hearing. You can hear here. It has to go through the brain. Okay? And this is understanding. But then, you know, our learning must go down to the heart. Many people hear, they can understand, yeah, understand, but it doesn't affect them. If it doesn't affect them, we're not learning. The definition of learning is permanent change over time. Okay? The definition of learning is permanent change over time. In other words, when we say we've learned something, it changes our life. Which means that if a person's life don't change, he hasn't learned anything. And that's why people can be in church for years, their life remains different. Young people especially, for information, young people having their Sunday school now, they are learning whole year on successful living, studies in the book of Proverbs. Okay? So, the Bible teaches us that wise men will hear. And the men of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. So next verse tells us, in Proverbs 9 verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will become yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Okay? So which means that by the end of these 2 months, we're going through this family series. Are we going to be the same? Or is God going to help us to grow? You know, I can teach, I can admonish, but it's the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus in your heart, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to change your life. But as we are setting, after 2 months, our life don't change. Okay? One of the goals of this series that we actually put into practice some of the things we learn. Okay? Any questions? All right, next question for us to stay awake. What do we build in this life? We're talking about builders. Except the Lord build a house. What do we build in this life? From the time you're born to the time you die, what are you building?
We're building our own lives.
We're building our own lives. Why do I say that? During the youth camp, I think I shared with everyone last week, I showed a photo to the youth campers about a baby. Maybe Eleanor. A baby. And I showed them how a baby that's so cute and so chubby, after 10 years, they can become an absolute rebel in the family. Versus another child who is able to obey and submit and love. What happened? We're putting things inside that cause the child to become like that. Does that make sense? Okay? If a child becomes a rebel, it means that we're just letting sin affect that person. When it comes to an age of 10, 15, 20 years old, and the child smokes and drinks and fight parents and don't listen, steals, that means all along, like it or not, parents, we are actually putting things inside these children that is causing them to rebel. In fact, the only thing that you do for children who become a rebel is not do anything. Many parents are there, but they're not there. We're not actively teaching the word of God. We're not actively teaching the right things to our children. That's why a baby can be very cute at birth, cute at 4, and then after suddenly at 10, 11 years old, become an absolute rebel. Why? Because, like it or not, we are building. But what are we building? Okay? Right? What else are we building in our lives? What else are we building in our lives? Or some of us are part of that building of an institution. Family, definitely, okay? We build our families. Many of us are husbands and wives here and those who wish to be married. Okay, we are building our families. Okay? You know, at the time of the wedding, everything looks nice and wonderful. Oh, we're going to have the best wedding and best marriage in this life, right? And then 10 years later, we're fighting and all that. For those who came a bit late, I share with us that 28,212 marriages in Singapore, 7,000 of them end up in divorce, 1 in 4. That's not good statistics. All right, in Singapore, many years ago, it's 1 in 100. Now it's 1 in 4. Numbers for every 4 persons that get married, 1 divorce. Why? And Christians are not exempted. I also mentioned earlier that the word divorce has been mentioned in Christian families. Why? Something is wrong. But it depends on how we build. Okay? If we go back to the passage that we... If we go back to this passage again, we've learned that unless God builds the house together with us, everything will be meaningless. Our children can be the PhDs, we may earn millions of dollars. Like it or not, fathers and mothers, or those who want to be married, you will be building, you have built your life. How are you building your life up to now? I'm just referring to those who are not married. If you're building your life in Christ, you want to take that into your family. But if you're not building your life on Christ, your family will be a family that is Christian in name, but the ingredients are not what God wants us to put in. And you will find, and this is the subtle thing about our building. Sometimes at a wedding, we're all very happy, and everything is nice and wonderful. Everyone has smiles, you know, no pimples. The lady become very slim, and everything is nice and wonderful. And 5-10 years later, they're not around anymore, or what happened, or sometimes it's quite embarrassing. Why? It's how we build. And we have to recognize that. We have to recognize that, that how we build our families will lead to whether we have peace before we leave this world, or we just have this stressed. Okay, my father-in-law is, every time I go to talk to him, he's always talking about his stresses of his family. Because he's not a Christian, he don't have that foundation. All right? Any questions? We are building our lives. And how we build our lives as Christians will determine how we're going to build our families. If we are not a Christian, the only life you have is here. If you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you have no ingredients to build on. All the ingredients you have is from the God of this world. Money, career, enjoyment, pleasures. And this is what even Christians go for today. We have to be very careful, okay? Any questions? Okay, we're going to go to another. Okay, so now that we want to build, so what materials are we going to use? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, please turn there. Matthew chapter 7, over the next few weeks, we're just going to be looking at scriptures to put all these things into our lives. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be reading together. Then after you ask some, answer some questions. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. So look at what materials we need to use, all right, to build, whether it's family, whether it's church, whether it's our own lives. Let's read together. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that doeth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Okay. I want us to notice one thing before we go into the question, okay? The Bible says in verse 25 and verse 27, what can you tell me about these two verses? The rain descended, verse 25, I read, then you listen, huh? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. What can you tell me about these two verses? Foundation is very important. What else? What else? Trials and challenges will come whether we build rightly or we build wrongly. In other words, we'll all go through the same things. We'll all go through the same trials. And I believe in the structuring of this passage, it teaches us that whether it's Christian or non-Christian, you have troubles. Okay? Now, in this passage of Scripture, what would you say is the prescribed materials for building the house? In the passage that you just read. So the prescribed materials that Jesus is teaching is the sayings of Jesus or the Word of God, okay, in general. Okay? The entire Bible have prescribed instructions, wisdom, commandments, promises for the family, for your life. And Jesus is saying that his sayings, what he says, is the prescribed method or prescribed materials for building. All right? But how do we do it? How do we use these materials? What does the passage teach you? What does the passage teach us? What is the prescribed materials? You can read Matthew chapter 7 again, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So what is the approach we need to take to the Word of God? We know that these are the materials already, right? So how do we use it? Knowledge into practice, okay? Jesus gave two action words. Therefore, whosoever heareth, the word heareth means, in order to hear, you pay attention. That's the first step to hearing. Right, you need to be able to pay attention, and then in order to apply before that, you need to understand. In other words, you will actually actively seek to hear, pay attention, and understand the sayings of Christ. In other words, what if you come to a passage you don't understand? What do? Go study. Go study it. Meditate upon it and think about it. Think about it. All right? Let's turn to another passage with regards to that. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1 and verse 8. I think many of you will know this passage. If you don't, you need to start learning it. Because if you have children in the youth class, they are going to learn this, okay, to have a successful life. But Joshua was told by God to do something with the Word of God. In verse 8, the Bible says, this book of the law, hope you're all there, Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, you know, referring to the Bible, day and night. The word meditation, in modern day terms, is to empty your mind and let anything come in. That is not what God is saying. The word meditate means as you are reading, you will think about it, you think about it, you think about it, you think about it until it sinks in. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God's definition of success can only be achieved in our lives, and that includes building our families, building our own lives, is when we are in the Word of God. You know, in church, many times, unfortunately, Christians, the only Bible they read in the week is when they come to church. And sometimes, no wonder their lives are not as successful as God wants them to be. Okay, if you go to work, you must follow the SOP of the company. Otherwise, you can't do the work effectively. In the same way, God says in our lives, we need to put His Word in, and we need to meditate and we day in, day out. Okay? In Joshua chapter 1, those who know the background, Joshua was going to conquer the promised land. And God is telling them, if you do not follow my word, you are not going to have success in conquering the promised land. Okay? Now go back to Matthew chapter 7 again. So therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, you are listening, you are understanding, and you finally understood,
What do you do with it? You gotta do it. You gotta do it. Okay?
The Bible teaches here, Jesus says, who's anyone, it can be a Christian or non-Christian. But you know what? If you're not a Christian, you have no spiritual insight. No, young people, as you're growing up, if you're not married, you can come to church, but your heart may not be here. Your heart must be changed by God to want to hear what God wants to say, okay? So when you hear and do, then Jesus says, I will compare him with a wise man. I don't know about you, if Jesus compares you to a wise man, I want him to compare me to a wise man. And a wise man hears and do God's work, okay? Now, in hearing and doing, Jesus says that person is building his life. The word house represents life here, okay? In the context, represents life. But it also represents, it can also represent your house, your family, okay? And the question we really need to ask ourselves, how are we building our families? How are we building our families? What are we using to build our families? Is it what the uncle and auntie say in the coffee shop, you know? You know, some uncle there, oh, you must do this to your children, you must go, make sure your children get a good education. Oh yeah, good education. You must have a good education, huh? Or young people, you have your friends, when you have opinions, they come, oh, don't listen to your dad, you must listen to our lecturer. Wow, he's so knowledgeable. Is that how we are building our lives? Like it or not, everything that comes in, we will use one day. All the opinions of people that come in, we will use one day. But Jesus is telling us, we need to build our life on God's word. Not just hearing, but doing. Now, this, as part of this, but what, Pastor Johnny, sometimes I don't understand what the Bible says. I know what he wants me to do, but I don't understand why I should do it or why. I don't understand the whole thing. You know what I need to do there? Prayerfully obey. Prayerfully pray, God, I really don't understand, but since you said it, Lord, I'll do it, because I love you. You know, sometimes children, you never understand why your parents ask you to do something. Right? But you know what? Every time parents ask children to do something, there is a reason. And in order for us to learn obedience, submission, we need to obey. Sometimes we don't understand why. For example, a two-year-old like to put their finger inside the socket. Okay, maybe you'll be having that problem soon, putting inside the fan and all that. And then the mom comes and psh! Then the two-year-old is not going to say, Mom, why I cannot put my finger inside? Because mentally they don't understand. But they just have to obey, don't put your finger in. Because if you really put your finger in, it's going to get chopped off. All right? But a child, a two-year-old, won't understand. But as we learn to obey, the heart of obedience toward the parents is established so that when you teach the child next time, the child actually says, yes, you're right, Dad. You're right, Mom. Thank you for teaching me. A lot of problems will actually be avoided in young people's life if they just listen to their parents, even though sometimes you don't understand why. Agree? Children, can I just say, your parents do have a lot more experience than us. And God gave parents to guide us. In this new generation, they call it the Z generation, don't want to listen. We need to learn to listen, a wise man. As fathers and mothers, we need to train our children to learn to obey. Sometimes they may not understand. But lovingly, we need to say, hey, you need to do this because it's right. Okay? That's what Jesus said. I'm not done yet. So what's the outcome of doing and hearing the word of God according to Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 25, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. What's the first outcome? If we hear and obey and do what Jesus says, what will happen? In verse 25, there are two outcomes, okay? First outcome is, it fell not. Okay, of course, what is the outcome? Not hearing, it fell. And Jesus actually gave a very clear warning here. What's the warning? All right, he gave a promise first. All of us will face trials in this life. There will come a time that you may not have enough money to pay your bills. I know in Philippines, I think yesterday was an earthquake, 7.2. Can you imagine the families? Okay? But you know, I believe, I mean, I'm just speculating, I'm just guessing, some of those families probably trust God and fear God. And that when even their houses are broken away, the house inside here is still strong. Agree? Like the Japanese who actually had a very bad, I think, earthquake under the sea, then the tsunami, I think in Fukushima, the nuclear reactor, okay? They were just quietly gone. Some of them may not believe in God, I don't know, but you know, they were resilient, they're able to keep going, right? But the Bible says, in verse 25-27, we will all face troubles in lives. Young people, you are going to face troubles in life. My question for you, how are you going to face them? How are you going to face them? How are you going to face your trials? Jesus said, if you would hear and do what I say, when the trials come and beat upon that house, in the Philippines, my understanding is when the typhoon comes, the roof can fly. All right, house can. I think it was many years. Dakloban, isn't it? There's one very bad tsunami that hit. About 6,000-7,000 people died. Many of the houses are not around. Okay, but you know what? If your house of your life is built on Christ, it will not fall. That's what Jesus promised for everyone who listened to him. We cannot force each other to listen. Young people, your parents can teach you, but you've got to listen yourself. Because the most effective listening is your own. Parents can say, yala, listen up. Actually, you're not, you're actually shut. But you know, Jesus promised that if we would listen, that when trials come, your house will not fall. That's his promise. We've got to believe what Jesus said. But we don't listen, and you know, the warning Jesus gave, it fell. Number one, it fell. And the Bible says, great was the fall of it. The idea is that it was irrecoverable. It means you cannot recover it anymore. Great was the fall. There are some people who made wrong decisions in life and they go off a different direction. They can't come back. They can't come back. Or it is very difficult to come back. God can restore. God can help to restore. But you know, sometimes wouldn't it be better if you listened to Jesus in the first place? And made the right decision to build our house right so that when anything comes, we will not fall. If cancer strikes, if there's a loss of job, if something happens, a tragedy happens in the family, and you have been walking right, you will still stand. But if you've taken the wrong decision and you've gone off a different track, you know, this is a warning for people who are not married yet. To marry right in the Lord. Marry right. Okay? Marry right in the Lord. And it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Any questions? Any questions? So the two key things here is that we are building our lives. The question we need to ask is, how are we building our lives? Okay? How are we building our lives? Number one. Number two, Jesus taught us the only right way to build our lives is on God's word, together with God. Everything else is going to be meaningless. Okay? And Jesus also promised that when we build our lives on God's word, you will not fall. You will not fall. That's what Jesus said. You will not fall. It fell not. It fell not because why? And Jesus went on to, I believe, reinforce the reason because it was built on the rock. You know? God's word has been written for so many years, no one has been able to change it or refute it. It is strong. Okay? It is strong. If we build on it, we will be strong. But if you don't, the warning is you can actually fall irrecoverably. Now you cannot actually recover yourself after you fall, or it's going to be a long way. I believe one thing as pastor, no one is too far from God that God cannot call back. No one is too far from God. But you know what? Wouldn't it be better if you don't go away? Stay and just enjoy God's peace and God's love. And we may not have much of the things of this world, but you know what? The peace of God is worth $1 million. Do we agree with that? The peace of God in our hearts. Of course, if you have peace of God and $1 million, it's very good. But what if you can choose? You can only choose. I'll choose the peace of God anytime. Because
it takes me through life. $1 million, it comes to an end. It comes to an end. We have to be very clear of our priorities, okay? For next week, we're going to look at the structure of a life and a family, okay? I would like you to actually do two things. One, memorize Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2. And also, I want you to read and think about Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 25, the structure of a life and a family. Okay? Study it for yourself, read it through it, ask questions of it. It's okay that, you know, seek the Holy Spirit's help to help you to understand. Because the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 25. And even before that, God already gave some instructions to the individual. And you notice in that passage, God gave instruction to the individual, and God actually formed the family. Okay, I want you to read through that, because first principles, this is where it all starts, before we look at conflict. Okay, any questions? Okay, just a few things. What I'd like you all to do is, for next 1 month, I'll be looking at the structure of family, the origins of conflict. All right. And then we're looking at things like communication and things within the family. And we want us to participate as well so that we can learn Bible principles and how we need to ground ourselves in that. All right? And I'd like you to also let me know what are some areas that you would like to touch on in this few weeks, so that it will be relevant to you. Whether you're married or not doesn't matter, because building of life in the Word of God is for everyone. Okay? Okay? So you can message me, or if you need piece of paper to write down and pass it to me, you can. I have any questions for the family? Alright, let's have a word of prayer and then we can take a 15-minute break. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thy word is a lamp to our feet, light to our path. Lord, you teach us the entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. You teach us that when we delight in the word of God, our lives will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever we do, Lord, will prosper. Lord, you have given us precious promises that we can build our lives on. We pray, Father, as we continue in the next few weeks in Sunday school, I pray, Father, you help us to be faithful to each session. Help us to take notes. But Lord, most of all, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will teach us through that. And God, I pray that we will truly prayerfully install God's plan into our life, and that only you can do. I pray our lives will be changed, our family will be changed, Lord, by the Spirit of God. By Father, your presence, we are so thankful that your word can guide us. Help us not to be stubborn. Help us not to go against your word. Help us not to resist your word. I pray, Father, for some who may never have been converted in their hearts, that they have never given their lives to Christ. They may claim to be Christians, but Father, I pray that you open their hearts, Lord. Help them to realize sin cannot exist in the heart, Father, and we expect God to bless us. So, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will convict the hearts, Lord, gently but firmly, and bring them back into a relationship with you. But if they are not Christians, I pray, Lord, you bring them to a place of salvation. But if they are, I pray you help them, Lord, to turn their hearts away from sin towards Christ, that they might have eternal life and, Lord, be able to start building their life right. So, Lord, bless the service to follow. We thank you for our visitors and friends. Thank you for the faithfulness of our members. We pray, help us, Lord, to ground ourselves in your word. Father, thy word can go forth and start changing lives by your grace. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.